from the corner. Yes! And a foul!
Is he having himself an afternoon? Schneider feeling
his third three already.
On the drive goes Patty Casey for the basket.
Backdoor cut, Swider with the jam. This is Swider in close, and one.
All right, everyone, welcome back to episode 13 of the Cole Swider Show, featuring me, Patty Casey. Today is Wednesday, December 14th. We're recording this Eastern nighttime, about evening time in the Pacific. Giant week for the Swider Show as Cole Swider is back. So,
I'm back, yeah, man.
Good
I'm
round
back.
Of applause, Sheridan. Thank you. Yep. But, yeah, Cole, how you feeling?
I feel good, man. I'm back finally. Obviously, it's been a long 8 weeks not being able to play, but these past couple of weeks of just working out, training to get back, finally got into full court practice and full court conditioning and everything like that. So I'm excited, man. Obviously, I'm going to start off with the South Bay Lakers and then try to work my way back up to the NBA Lakers. And I'm excited, man. Obviously, Lakers starting to hit a stride a little bit, obviously contending with some of the top teams in the league. So I'm excited. I think I can be useful up there, and hopefully I'm back up there soon.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into last night when we're recording this. Last night was the Celtics game, which I'm sure a lot of people tuned into on TNT, which is maybe the most wild game. Actually, I mean, we've got a Lakers recap coming up a little later, but in the last week, there's been two absolutely wild games between the Philly game and the Boston game.
And the Bucks game. I mean, it's just been...
Yeah. We recapped that last episode, but it's like, yeah. Just the Lakers right now are just must-see TV on all fronts, and when you're back up there, it'll be even more so.
Yeah, exactly.
For the loyal Cole Swider fans that tune into the pod, the day that you're listening to this, Thursday, the 15th, the original plan was Swider play tonight, the 14th, but his debut will be tomorrow night on ESPN Plus against the Ontario Clippers. So yeah, you can tune in on ESPN Plus. That's the Ontario in California, not the one in Canada.
Yep.
For those wondering. Yep.
It's about an hour away, so we actually play tonight. We're going to go out there tomorrow, or it's tonight, and then stay over the night, and then just get right into the game. So I'm excited. Obviously, playing against two really good teams. I mean, James Wiseman's playing for the Santa Cruz Warriors tonight.
Right.
And then, yeah, man, we'll have a good schedule. Ontario has like five or six guys who have played in the NBA or on the Clippers roster. They have a bunch of assignment guys, so I'm excited. It'll be a good test.
Yeah, it's good. We're obviously all excited for you to get back. Is there kind of like close the loop on the rehab process that thankfully it's over now, Swider? The last like 8 weeks, like you said, we've been kind of recapping how you've been going or been doing, like as far as getting back on the court. But now that you're back on the court, is there there's like a ramp up as you've outlined? But what's the feedback like when you're like what are your expectations going into your first game? Being back,
yeah. For me, it's all about just getting my rhythm back. I think as a shooter, as a scorer, I think the biggest thing that you try and get back is your rhythm. And the only way you can do that is getting in games. And if you're a basketball player, you know game shape's totally different than practice shape or working out. Like it's just a totally different thing. So I think for me, it's all about just getting back in rhythm, getting back in game shape, just playing with my teammates. I mean, it's gonna be my first time playing with them, so there's gonna be a little bit of an adjustment period, obviously. Being a two-way, you know what I mean? Your goal is to get ramped up and be back with the Lakers squad. But at the end of the day, I'm just excited to get back out there. I'm excited to play with these guys. I think we have a great G League team, a team that's obviously been good without me, and I'm just trying to add value in any way I can just so we could continue the momentum going into the G League Showcase, which I don't know if you know this, Patty, but the G League Showcase, the top eight teams play for $100,000. So, so we'll be competing for that. Sadly,
it's a big check.
Yeah, sadly, the two ways and the assignment players don't get that money if we win. Yeah. But I'll be fighting for my teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually going to ask you about that. Do you want to just like do a little recap of what the G League Showcase kind of is?
Because
I think a lot of NBA fans know that there's that midseason tournament that they're trying to implement in coming years. So is that sort of similar to what the G League Showcase is like?
Well, one thing about the G League is that they try out all the rules in the G League before they bring it up to the NBA, right?
Right.
So The first thing that they tried to install was the in-game replays. And obviously we see that more and more in the college level and the NBA level, like the amount of stoppages there are in the last 2 minutes of
reviewing every single play.
So they have the challenge calls, they have all these different things. And that was initially started in the G League. Another rule that they started in the G League was one shot, so one foul shot for 2 points instead of shooting both foul shots. So if anyone watches the G League, they know that when you go to the line, you're only shooting one shot for 2 points instead of shooting both the foul shots. I don't think that would ever get to the NBA because all the analytics and percentages and everything like that, but it definitely does speed up the game a little bit. Another rule that they're trying out this year is the Elam ending. So when you go into overtime now in the G League, it's just like +7 or whatever the score is. So we had an Elam ending game the other night when Scotty hit the game winner. So that was... That was sick. That's obviously starting the TBT, and then
they also did that. Sorry, not to cut you off, but they've done that in the something similar with the All-Star game in the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like you add like the target points, and then first person to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun to watch. It's like weird though. Like remember, I think it was 2 years ago, LeBron. Like they needed a three to win, and he just shot like a 45-footer.
Yeah.
Like there would definitely be a lot of that going on. Like it's very fun. It's like such a unique viewing experience because it's different than any basketball game you've ever watched.
And every shot matters. Every shot's like a game winner at that point because there's so much pressure behind it. So yeah, that's obviously a great rule. And then this is kind of like that midseason tournament that they're trying to find out. And I think the biggest thing I asked. So we had our rookie transition program. I asked Adam Silver. I was like, would that be more of a because to Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, like they're not worried about the midseason tournament, right? Like them winning $100,000 isn't the end all be all. So I asked him, I was like, would that be more of a showcase for guys like the rookies and the two ways to make a little bit extra money?
Right.
Or would that be and I think his idea was just to have more meaning for these regular season games, right? So I think overall just each rule that they're trying to pass, they test it out in the G League. And I mean, I'm excited for this G League showcase. Also, it's a great event for the G League players because all 30 NBA teams are there, all the GMs, the scouts, and the NBA, everyone knows you're constantly playing for your next job. So I think it's just a good experience, and obviously just great to play against and in front of all these NBA GMs.
Right. It seems like from the information that I've collected and like talking to you about it, it's probably pretty relatable for a lot of basketball players that listen, where it's basically just like a big AAU tournament, but the stakes are way higher. Like, you're just constantly getting evaluated. We've talked to Devin and Scotty about being in the G League, but, it's like a unique position to be in. It's pretty cool that they do that. It's a good time of the year to do it, too, because I feel like a lot of NBA GMs have time to, you know, evaluate for that 3 or 4 days and then identify where... This is also the time of the year where it's like, all right, we're 30 games in. We might need one of these guys to actually help us with the next couple months. You know what I mean?
Well, especially if a guy goes down an injury, a guy's going through something, or a team just needs like an extra player. The 10-day contracts start January 15th, so this is a great time to evaluate those guys and see which guys could be on your target list, or create a list of guys that if a guy does go down, who fits your roster, who could come in and help, who's a guy who could fit the end of our rotation in a time where we don't have all of our players. So I think it's just a great time to evaluate. So, yeah, like you said, it's like a big AAU tournament July. It's pretty much like the July evaluation period.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're seeing all the coaches there, except yours is our NBA GM. So, but quick shout out to the South Bay Lakers. You guys are currently 9-4. You're playing well right now.
Yeah, we're playing well. We just had a 7-game win streak.
Yeah, for our former guest, friends of the pod, Scotty's averaging 23-5. Devin, since he joined the podcast, had 29-16, 10-16. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a coincidence. That might be more motivation for guys to come on the Swider Show and then play some good ball. But he's been killing it since. So yeah, I think we're going to take credit for that.
Oh, without a doubt. But Devin's just – one thing about Devin is he just stuck to the process the whole entire time. He was having a little bit of shooting struggles, and he talked about how it's the worst shooting stretch of his life, but we all have those times, and he just stuck to the process, and he's been playing really well now. I mean, he had a great game last game, even though we didn't win, but he's been the driving force, the leader of the team since since the beginning of the season. So he's been a great addition, even though he wasn't making shots for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. He's just one of those guys. I've talked to him for 45 minutes. His DNA is just like leadership. Like he's very easy to, I don't know, he leads by example. You can tell his voice like carries more weight than most people you meet in your life. So
I mean, he's just so articulate. He's so articulate. Yeah. Like means every word he says and truly exactly. truly cares about other guys' success. And that's rare. Right. That's rare, especially in our society today.
Mm-hmm. Swire, speaking of, you know, former guest of the G League, Scottie Pippen Jr., you were at the Sierra Canyon Christ the King game, which had a lot of hype, well-deserved hype. I stayed up 11:30 East Coast to watch the whole game. And I was, like, texting you randomly throughout the day, as we do, and then I'm like, oh, I think I said something like, oh, Bronny just, like made a good move or something. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm sitting right next to Carmelo. And then literally 2 seconds later, they showed that row. It's Carmelo Anthony, Scottie Pippen Jr., Cole Swider. I was like, let's go.
But, yeah, I was definitely
how was that experience?
I was definitely the lowest caliber guy there.
Oh, no, come on.
It was...
Don't sell yourself short. It's only a matter
No, but it was a great experience, though. Obviously, sitting next to Melo. It was funny. I had no idea I was going to sit next to Melo. And then as soon as I got there, we were just talking Syracuse, and he was watching the game. It was the day of the game when we played... who we playing?
Mammoth,
yeah. So he said he was watching the game. He was happy with the win, and... he's Syracuse through and through. I asked him a little bit about, we talked about this on the podcast already, but him going back to Syracuse, putting his arm up and being at the football game, he was just saying, like, I was like, that was unbelievable. He's like, yeah, Syracuse is my spot, man. Syracuse is my spot. I mean, literally our practice facility is named after him. So,
the Memorial Center.
The amount of love that he has at Syracuse is just unreal.
He just means so much to, like, the entire university. Not even just the basketball program. It's like he is Syracuse in a lot of ways. Like, there's a handful of guys that are like that from the program, but...
But it's unreal. We talked about this before. It's like the 1 year he was there and the impact and,
oh my God.
And the pride. Yeah. Like, he was literally there for 6 months, and you would think, like... And when you walk around campus, there's more Carmelo Anthony jerseys than there are any other jerseys. And then G-Mac's probably second. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just unbelievable to have that connection with him and just be like, he said the other day, he's like, I brought up the Hakeem Warwick and Jerry McNamara, that they're going to get their jerseys retired. He's like,
what did he say about that?
He said he planned on being there. So just like that.
No way.
Yeah. So that love awesome. that he has for the university. And obviously he more than anybody, I think, just has that love affair. I mean, he has that love for Syracuse and the fans obviously have it for him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just like so. That's sweet that he's gonna be there. I'm gonna be in the house too. Not that anyone cares, but yeah, that'll be amazing. That whole event was just like very cool, though.
I thought,
like, ESPN did a good job. Like, they were showing LeBron every other play as they should, but they're doing a lot of like flashbacks to 20 years before when Carmelo and LeBron played each other. Now like Bronny and Kyan were playing each other. It's like this
unreal.
Is fucking sweet. Yeah,
unreal. I got so many texts from people like. Like, oh, you're big time now. Like, even my G League coach, Miles Simon, you know what I mean? He's like,
really?
Hey, he's like, not too shabby, huh? Sitting courtside, Kardashians down the sideline, sitting next to Melo. Okay.
Yeah, wait, what was that like? Like, with the celeb scene?
It was crazy. And I didn't even know the Kardashians were there until one of Scottie's friends came over. We were talking to him. He's like, yeah, like, so one of Scottie's friends, his dad is a big time music producer. So he had courtside seats too. And he was just telling me all the celebrities that were down there too. I mean, obviously Melo's ex-wife is best friends with Kim Kardashian and the Kardashians. So like, that's why they were there. But yeah, man, it was a great experience. And just seeing everyone there, I mean, like, Bron was getting hounded, so I didn't want to go up to Bron and just be another guy. But yeah, I saw him the next day. He was like, yeah, that game was crazy. So I mean, it was definitely a great experience, and there's a lot of history in that gym.
Yeah, it was a star-studded cast there. Also, the game was good too. It's just like such a high level of basketball for high school.
For high school, definitely.
Like, yeah, like, he's gotten so much better in the last 2 years. Like, that lefty layup he had in transition was awesome. He was so athletic.
Yeah, he
also defends really well, too.
Great on-ball defender. just a pest on the court. Like he affects the game in so many other ways besides scoring, and he's a great shooter. And he obviously has great IQ coming from highest IQ basketball player of all time.
Yeah, the genes are there too. So, yeah, any of those guys that you were with that entire day, open invite on the pod for me personally. So, but one quick before we move on, I needed to shout out this Bill Koch.
Yeah, Bill Koch. Yep.
Coke Koch.
Yep. Koch.
Tweet during the game, they showed it was like a that picture that our account at Swatter Show on Twitter, go follow it, retweeted, but it was like Mello, then you, then the Pippins. And Bill Koch tweeted out, Cole Swatter in the front row at the Sierra Canyon Christ the King game on ESPN2, sitting with the Syracuse connection, Carmelo Anthony, whose son Kyan is playing for the Royals, which is Christ the King. This is a long way from Portsmouth. I love that tweet so much. And but you know, it is true. I mean, like, do you when you walk in that gym, do you think of that, like, how far you've kind of come? Because that's one of those moments where it's not like you're playing and you have to focus, but you're like, holy shit, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, man. Like, just being, like, I just try and, like, just live in the moment a lot, just try and realize, like, like I'm just a kid from Portsmouth. And you know what's even crazy is that one of my high school teammates from Portsmouth High School, my freshman year, he was a junior at the time, he's an assistant coach for Christ the King. So, So I was talking to him pregame. One of my old high school coaches, Alex Simeone, he texted me and was like, "How crazy was just talking to Sean in front of like the like in that atmosphere, right? Like it's just he was a manager at St. John's and now he's assistant coach for Christ the King and they were just overseas. I think they were in England last week and
they play in London,
London. They were in London last week and now they're in California. They're going to Missouri. Like it's just they've that's a high level of high school basketball that they're playing, but I mean it's unreal, like man.
It's a global schedule. But yeah, I was watching that game and obviously with me living in New York now, I texted my older brother like right away. I was like, we should just go to a Christ the King game. Like, we should definitely go to one of these league games. It's way better than like anything else you'll watch. So
Yeah,
but I mean I guess moving on here, we recapped at the start, but the big club, the Lakers, playing pretty well right now. I think on the surface, people will say, I mean, you guys were, what, 8-2, and then you've lost 4 of the last 5, but there's definitely a lot of positives in the last 5 games, you know, even though you lost 4 of them on the schedule.
Well, you think about it, I mean, one of those games, it was out without all of our players, or at least our star players.
Toronto.
You said LeBronto?
No, I said Toronto, but it is LeBronto.
Yeah, it is LeBronto. So obviously that was one of the games. And then two of the games, we have our best player at the free throw line.
So
it's like you give yourself an opportunity.
Austin Reeves,
Austin Reeves, friend of the pod. But we have AD, who's been the best player in the NBA for the past month at the line with opportunities to win the game. And that's all you can do. You just put yourself in a position to win. So, I mean, people are talking a lot differently about the team if they pull out those two games. And two teams that have championship aspirations as well. The Sixers, who have championship aspirations, and obviously the Celtics, who are the best team in the NBA right now. So, obviously, they didn't have Al Horford, but they're still a great team. And you could just tell, I mean, they went down 13. Adam Lewis, big fan of the Celtics on the podcast. They go down 13, and they just keep on playing the way they play. Keep on executing, and then they make huge shots down the stretch. And that's the team that's been together, been in big games. And LeBron talked about it last night in the post-game press conference. Just we like that unit that was together at the end of the game. Like they've never played at the end of the game together. So it's all a learning process. And I think we've definitely grown throughout the season.
100%.
We're getting better.
Yeah. That Cleveland game, too, like, AD left real early, and then he missed the next game, so he was, like, on a tear, and then I feel like on Twitter and shit, there was, like, kind of like, oh, like, he might regress a little bit, he might be getting hurt, like, people give him shit for getting hurt, and then in the 3 games since, he's averaging 34 and 13, so kind of just put those to rest pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, man, and I just think,
like... are definitely kind of falling into place, though, like, the other thing I want to talk about is Russ has just, like, reinvented himself into this, like, he's playing the six-man role perfectly, but the reason he's doing it is he comes in the game and the pace of the game just completely changes towards how he plays. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I think you guys are second in pace when he's in the game. And, like, AD and him have such a good two-man game going now. So it's like, I don't know. You guys just look very good right now, I think.
Yeah, I think overall just Russ. So I saw a graphic this morning about LeBron and how he's kind of changed his game throughout the years. It went through his first three seasons in the NBA compared to his last two seasons. And the shot chart is just totally different, how he's changed his game, adapted to the game. And I think Russ, I could be wrong, but in my opinion, this is the first year where he's reinvented his game to have another 4 or 5 years in the NBA, right? Because at least with our team, like, he didn't fit the starting lineup as well as he did coming off the bench. And for him to come off the bench and reinvent himself, it's created probably another 3 or 4 year deal for him. Maybe not making a max contract, but making a lot of money. And by him reinventing himself in this way and being adaptable and doing all these things, it's only made him more marketable to teams. So I think overall, this Russ has been great to me. He comes into work every single day, works hard, does all the right things, and it's just great to see him just playing happily. You know what I mean? He just with all the scrutiny that he gets to be able to do that is just so impressive.
Yeah, it's insane. He definitely is like leading that second unit now, and he just looks more comfortable overall. And because of that, you guys are like a way better team, but. The way he handles all that shit is just, like, insane. Yeah, but I think it's only a matter of time. This is not you saying this. This is me saying this. I think it's only a matter of time before you're playing in those TNT games. So we're excited for that. Yes, right, Adam? Right, Jake? Give me a little nod. Yep. Hard nod. But, Swire, I think every week during this segment we do 10 minutes on Cuse. So, I mean, the boys look good right now. 4 in a row, 1-0 in ACC play. We talked about the win in South Bend last week, but I think they're just taking advantage of this part of the schedule and looking, you know, like we expected what they would look like preseason.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I mean, this is a part of the season where they obviously got to take advantage of these games, get better. And I think this is a perfect time for Coach Boeheim to go into the ACC play, just really figure out who his rotation is. I saw Malik play a little bit more last game. We're seeing more of these freshmen starting to come into their own. Obviously, these are the games that you need to take advantage of. And Monmouth put up a great fight, but at the end of the day, Joe played assertive. Jesse keeps on being dominant. And obviously, it's always good to beat Georgetown, too. So, just the constant growth of the team is something that we're going to see throughout the season. Coach Boeheim's starting to figure out his lineups. It's not like our team was last year, whereas we didn't have much room to change, right? You have 10, 11 guys in this team that can play and can contribute, and you can go to. I thought Munir looked good in stretches. And he gives a Jesse-like presence in the paint that we didn't have last year, right? So, like, Munir comes in the game, but he can block 5 or 6 shots. And then John Bowles as well. Bowles been playing great. Just giving the team an extra boost on the wing, right? If we're getting in foul trouble, if we're doing these things. He comes in and gives a veteran presence, knows the zone really well. So I think overall just very excited the way the team's going, taking advantage of these games. And I think we looked at the schedule, it's like 2 or 3 more games where, I mean, we're obviously favored to win, and we can kind of figure out who we are before going into this brutal ACC stretch.
Yeah, they're sitting at 7-4 right now. You covered it basically all there, but I was at the game on Saturday, and did you see Ewing's comments after the game or no about Jesse?
I did not.
He basically just, this is Patrick Ewing speaking, head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, Nick legend. Maybe, I don't know, a short list of, like, most impactful college basketball players ever. He was comparing Jesse to himself.
And wow.
We should post a clip of Jesse. One of the reporters, told him that Ewing said that. And he's, like starstruck a little bit. He's like, oh, my God, that's, like, really nice. Like, you know how Jesse is. He's the nicest kid in the entire world. But,
entire world.
I mean, it's kind of true. Like, he's blocked, I don't know. He probably has 15 blocks on, like, corner jump shots, which I am no stranger to because he would do that to me, like, once a practice when I try and shoot a three. But he's playing, like, the best big in the ACC right now.
I think for Jesse is that we started to see that at the end of the year last year. And I think the most impressive part is that now he's catching the ball in the post, being decisive and scoring. Like last year, I mean, we saw him be effective, but he was having a lot of wide open dunks, right? Like he was starting to come into his own, but like we weren't asking him to do a whole ton when he was playing really well in terms of offensively. Now he's catching the ball in the post, being patient, facing guys up, getting to the basket, getting and ones, making free throws. We still gotta work on the free throws, but Jesse knows I love him. Jesse, just finish your shot, buddy. But yeah, just overall, Jesse's been playing great. He's came into his own. He's really solidified himself. I mean, physically, he's improved. And then blocking shots is just so natural for him, and just to see his growth, see how much better he's gotten over the years, and I'm just excited for him, excited for the team, and like you said, when Joe plays confident, I think we're a really hard team to beat, and he's been doing that lately for sure.
He's 100% back. He's had a couple like Gerard shots where it's just like impossible to make, and it doesn't even flirt with the rim; it just goes straight in.
I love it. I tell him all the time, be Girardi. Just be Girardi. Yeah,
exactly. He gets that like bounce in his step, and like I don't know, you can just tell right away when he kind of has it going. And I think for Cuse fans, it's not the worst thing in the world to struggle a little bit in like not conference games, because you could recover after a couple losses in early December.
It's one of those things. Like last year, we had a really tough schedule. There's no time for us to kind of like figure ourselves out, right? Like we were constantly just playing tough games, and I think Coach Boeheim will say this: like we didn't really have time to develop Benny, right? Like Benny, I think if we played some of these Mummis and some of these other teams, we could have developed him a little bit more. And I think Coach Boeheim, being the genius he is, he learned from that, and he's able to develop these freshmen through these games and really see what he has. So
right.
I think overall, they're doing a great job as a staff, and then yeah, man, GMAC. GMAC was the first person to text me. He was like, "I see you at the game. We played like shit tonight, but I see you right next to Melo. Tell him I said what's up."
dude, you're big time now. Like your G League coach said, it's like you turn on ESPN2 and there's your Sweaters mug right in your face. But
yeah,
yeah. I mean, the Cuse basketball is looking tremendous. We also just got a reminder from Sheridan to shout out Cuse soccer, because national championships don't come easy in any sport, Swider.
Not at all, man. It's I'm pretty close to one of the guys on the team, Colin Bieros. He hit one of the PKs, and just watching those PKs were just electric. The announcer kept saying, he's like, "This is the best way to win, but the worst way to lose."
So just watching
them, obviously. Like with the World Cup going on, I think soccer's just buzzing right now. And for Syracuse to win the national championship, after they didn't make the tournament last year, it's just one of those things where it's amazing to watch, and just super happy for those guys, super happy for the school, happy for John Wildhack, and obviously with the bowl game coming up, the way that Syracuse men's basketball, women's basketball is playing, I think the athletic department's in a good spot with women's lacrosse, how good they are every single year. I think it's in a good spot.
Yeah, you got to get your boy on at some point to celebrate the title. But also the dome, watching it during the basketball game, because it was going on during the Monmouth game. The videos of that on Twitter were pretty cool.
Sick, man. Sick.
Like everyone just freaking out. You know what I'm going to ask right now? You're mentioning soccer, how hot it is in the streets and PKs. So the goalie just guesses what side it's going to go to, right? Isn't that the thing?
Basically, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Swider's saying no. Oh, you're saying yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam's nodding his head yes, too. So this could just be the most naive take ever. But what if they just kicked it down the middle every time? You know what I mean?
You save it with your feet. Usually, you try to save it with your feet.
What if you just kicked it high? Dead straight. You know what I mean?
Hey, what about that?
Out of the way.
I think it was our captain. He went in the PKs and he hit the top, came right back down, then went in.
Yeah, it came down. Yeah.
That was unreal.
Yeah, that was insane. Yeah, it's just how the ball bounces. But I don't know. Any soccer experts that listen, maybe answer that question for me. That could be the dumbest thing ever. It probably is. But I don't know. I always think that. I'm like, why don't you guys just kick it right down the middle? The goalie's leaving. You know he is. But I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, I shouldn't be giving takes about PKs because the Orange obviously executed them perfectly and won literally the national championship. So,
yep.
Yeah, shout out to them. But, yeah, I mean, real quick, I want to do a little college basketball check-in around the globe. Have you been able to check out many games this weekend or not really?
Yeah, I was able to watch a good amount of games. I think I'm all the NBA guys tell you this, but you kind of watch more NBA games, but I'm still checking in on my college teams, watch Syracuse, watch all the big games and everything like that. But you're definitely starting to watch a little bit more NBA games.
Mm-hmm. Dude, the NBA right now, any game you turn on, there's just so many good players on the court at all times. It's insane.
The skill is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you look at the standings, it's like, I mean, you guys are, for example, are 11-16 right now, which you say that out loud, it sounds like you might be like pretty far back, but everyone just kind of log jammed between like through their like two games over 500 or like a couple games below 500 because like the Magic right now, who are, I think they have the second worst record in the league. They've won three in a row and they have like five legitimately really, really good NBA players. So it's like anyone could beat anybody on any good night.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean, I think we're only like four or five games back from the sixth seed or something like that. So we're, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, obviously we're figuring ourselves out, but at the same time, I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, you're definitely in a good spot. But yeah, the only thing I had on college basketball is a question for you, Swider. I don't know if you'll know the answer to this. And Adam and Jake, if you know the answer to this, which you probably won't, you could chime in. But how was the net calculated? Do you know that? Like the net rankings?
Well, I think it obviously has a bunch of things calculated. Strength of schedule.
It's like analytics, right?
Your quality of wins, your analytics, how like your offensive rating throughout the country, defensive rating, and then obviously your record. So I think it's a bunch of things calculated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I never understand the difference between that and like the Sam Houston State was number 7 last week. No disrespect to Sam Houston State fans or players that are tuning in, but I mean, come on.
Let's see. Game results, so that's just win or losses, but then strength of schedule, game location, scoring margin, so that's how much you win or lose by, net offensive and defensive efficiency, and then quality of wins and losses, which I think is that four-tier thing like they use in bracketology, how good your opponent is, basically. So obviously a million things go into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just always see the net rankings in my dumb brain. Just, like, can't really comprehend them. So I was wondering if you fellas might have. So thank you for that, Adam. I could have just looked it up on Google in 10 seconds. But, yeah, Swire, do you have anything else on basketball as a whole?
Nah, man. I'm excited for this week, obviously. Big game against the Ontario Clippers. And just looking forward to keep this momentum going and hopefully just playing big minutes soon.
Right. Yeah. I think I might fire off a tweet tomorrow, predicting your stat line. How many minutes are you? What's your expectations in that front?
20 to 22 minutes restriction.
20 to 22.
Yep.
Okay. I would also encourage listeners to check out the game tomorrow. Not obviously for you, Swider, because all the fans love you. But G League games are just wildly entertaining to watch.
Unbelievable.
There's like 300 possessions. A game. It's like breakneck speed. It's like every team is like, all right, you're gonna score 147. Well, we're gonna score 148. Like,
yeah,
the style of play is awesome.
It's unreal.
I don't know. I feel like we hit everything that's important. You being a giant celebrity now, you being back on the court. So, you'll notice in the description of this episode that there's no guest this week. We're kind of planning on doing that. I think it was episode 6. We did the mailbag. This is episode 13. We're planning every, I don't know, 7 to 10 episodes. Just do a little check-in on Swider, make him kind of the interview, and maybe not get a guest every single episode. But the motivation for this week is we're the first podcast in podcasting history, Swider, to do a draft.
So I love it.
The topic for this week's draft, Swider, take it away.
Is the best Christmas movies of all time. So the way this draft is going to work is going to be a snake draft. We're going to go Adam with the number 1 pick, Jake with the number 2 pick, Patty with the number 3 pick, and myself with the number 4 pick. Then I will get 2 picks in a row, Then it will go back to Patty, then to Jake, then to Adam. We're going to do the top four Christmas movies that we have, obviously, depending on who drafts what. And then from there, we're going to put these results up on Instagram and Twitter, and people will get to vote, and we'll have a winner that we'll announce next episode. So really excited for this draft, and I think it's going to be clear who wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll do a little vote. You can let us know what we missed. I'm sure there's like a billion Christmas movies. There's also so many that I haven't seen. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm a little nervous. I was preparing for this. I was like, what if I just like completely embarrass myself? But I don't know.
Well, Patty, this is
Jared, and he'll do worse than me. So
this is your first time. This is competition for you since Syracuse. Since Syracuse, what Florida State?
Oh, come on. Well, I play in a very important men's league, Swider, that we've recapped on the show. So I don't really appreciate you taking a shot at the NY Urban League.
But hey, but you're not gonna get any Twitter hate for how you play in the NY Urban League, though.
Oh, I might. You don't understand. But yeah, please engage with the post whenever we post it.
Yeah,
I beg of you. But yeah, Adam, you're going first.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to rumble.
All right, let's see it.
So really quick,
first. Wait, do like the do 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 do.
I'm gonna throw it in. That's.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
No, keep that there though. I kind of hit that. So keep that one there, and then after that we can go. Yeah.
With the very first pick in the 2022 Christmas Movie Swider Show Draft, Adam Lewis selects Christmas Vacation.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, that's
a fine. That's a fine pick.
That's a nice pick.
What's your defense? Yeah, I don't hate that.
Chevy Chase is a legend, and I've never not laughed watching that movie. And there's a couple other movies that I'm sure we'll get to that I have gotten sick of over the years. And I'll never get sick of Christmas Vacation.
Solid number one pick.
Yeah, it's fair. I don't really have any rebuttal there. I was ready to, like, shit on it, but I just can't. Good pick, Adam.
Sheridan?
I've got a question about mine.
All right, go ahead.
Now, with the second pick, I'm going to take Home Alone.
Okay.
Do I get to take both of them at once?
No, my God, no.
No.
Okay, and I'm taking Home Alone 2. Taking Home Alone 2.
You are?
Taking 2.
Wow.
That's a good pick. That's actually, that was number one, or number two on my board.
Home Alone 2 was number two on your board, Patty.
Yeah, it's better than Home Alone.
Okay, but it's not a top two Christmas movie.
Well, it's my pick.
Yeah, it's subjective, Adam.
I'm no Rotten Tomatoes here, Adam.
This is classic podcasting.
Yep.
Drafting, arguing. Wait, am I up?
Yep, you're up, Patty.
All right. See, this is where you have to have a strategy involved, because my 1-1 is something that I don't think you guys are going to pick. So I think I'm going to forego it and get it either second or third round. Because if I know Swider like I think I do, there's no way he takes this movie number one.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with a heavy hitter. I'm going to go The Grinch, Jim Carrey.
Wow.
Yep.
The Jim Carrey version. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys gave me a layup.
See, I know what you're going to take, but that's just so predictable.
You guys gave me a layup.
Yeah. Go ahead, say it.
With the number 4 pick, I'm taking Elf.
Yeah,
and you guys let it slide at number four. You let it slide number four.
Is that funnier than Home Alone though?
Oh, that's Elf. I would pick it at number one. I just got great quality for the end of the draft, so I'm going Elf.
And Swider's the one that set the order too, so I feel like there was extra strategy involved there. He knew we were going to not pick Elf 1 through 3.
I'm fine with not having Elf.
Elf is number one, and with the fifth pick of the draft, it's a tough one. I can go a lot of different directions, but I'm gonna go Polar Express. Polar Express with a great.
That's a great pick. That's
great second round value.
How about this, Wire? If you're such a Polar Express fan, what's the name of the main character? Silence. No idea.
Tom.
Adam, do you know?
I've never seen the Polar Express in my life.
Name Charlie?
That's egregious. He doesn't have a name.
Wow. Exactly. So name. I was right. Yeah. I was right.
No, you weren't. You said Tom.
All right, Patty, with your second round pick.
All right, I'm up. Second round pick. This is actually working out perfectly. Because I don't think you're going to take my 1-1 still. I'm just going to keep going. Actually, Adam might. I feel like Adam might. But I'm going to take Home Alone 1.
Wow.
So that's some diversity there. That's not my 1-1. So there's some diversity there because The Grinch is like a feel-good. Any age can watch it. Home Alone's the same way, but I don't know. That's like, I guess it's a comedy.
I still have the best two picks right now.
There's two different feels there to each movie, so it's kind of broadening their horizons.
Yep.
But yeah.
Okay, Sharon
is classic. It's so classic. Swire's one of those guys. Everyone who listens knows a friend that can just like rattle off movie quotes and like one-liners for movies with like you could not see Elf for like 20 years and you'd still know like every line in the movie. Which I'm not like one of those guys. I always forget what they're saying, so I can't. I don't know. I like Elf. I don't love it. But go ahead.
Elf's a classic. Sheridan.
I too think Adam might take mine, but I'm gonna let it go until my third pick. I have another question.
Oh my god.
Does do we have Charlie a time Brown Christmas this? Count?
Yeah, of course.
All right, lock it in. Second pick. Love all the right. Peanuts.
Are you sure?
Wow,
Sheridan.
I'm in.
You sure? Are you trying to
the commissioners came up and announced everyone.
All right.
This is like drafting. Well, I won't say who. This is like drafting people over Jason Tatum right now.
You could say who? Fultz and Lonzo.
Yeah, I meant the teams screwing up. Jake's like those teams. I don't know. I don't want to say the Lakers, but you know, you're kind of pushing
it. You know what, Adam? You just lost your.
They're family
round.
Favorites. Family favorites.
All right, with the second round, fourth pick, eighth overall, A Christmas Story.
All right, wow. That's a solid pick. Adam, are you a marathon on Christmas Eve guy? Like, do you catch one of those when they play it for 24 hours straight?
So we go to Mass on Christmas Eve, and we cook a lot of stuff. So I don't watch a single minute of TV on Christmas Eve. But mm-hmm. I will turn on movies. Like, throughout the last couple of weeks, I've been turning on Freeform and everything just to throw stuff on at night.
No, it absolutely sucks now that you mention Mass. My family goes to 4 p.m. Mass.
Totally.
You know it's at 4:25 this year? Eagles-Cowboys.
Yeah, Eagles. The hell it is.
That sucks.
That's why I like my church. Mass is at 10.
Yeah, we go at 4.
On Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve at 10, come home to the Yule log.
That's kind of nice. Christmas Eve, though, Sheridan, you're definitely hitting it hard on the 23rd.
Oh.
You're probably going to be hungover on Christmas Eve Mass.
I'm going to be hungover on Christmas Day.
Wow.
But, yeah, that was a quick diversion. Lewis, you have another pick, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that's huge.
Third round, first pick.
All right. Third round, first pick. I'm going to go with Die Hard.
Wow. Great quality in the third round. That's a high quality pick.
Is that really a Christmas movie? I don't even know. I've never seen it.
It is.
This is the first time this has ever been debated.
Yeah, I know. I literally have never seen Die Hard. I just know that people love spewing about how it's like, oh, is that a Christmas movie? But I don't know. We don't have to do that. Good pick, Adam.
It's set on Christmas Eve, and there's Christmas themes is all I'll say. Okay. I like it. I think you should definitely watch this week.
All right, wait. Okay. Real quick. Can we do a check-in? So, Adam, you have Christmas Vacation. What? Christmas Story, Die Hard. Sheridan has Charlie Brown and Home Alone 2. Swire, do you have Elf and Polar Express?
Yep.
And I have the Grinch and Home Alone.
Last year. He's got the worst picks right
worst.
Now.
Wow.
I agree.
I definitely. All right, you'll see when the fans vote.
We'll see what the fans say.
But like, they're the main Elf. Anyone would pick Elf.
All right. We could debate. We could debate after the draft. Yeah, Sheridan, go ahead. Do you have another question?
No, I'm good. I've got this one on lock. I thought Adam might take this one, but I'm going to go with the Miracle on 34th Street black and white version, 1947.
That's a good pick. That's a great movie. That's a classic. I didn't expect it to get picked. But, yeah. You know, it's a fun fact. Guess what's on 34th Street in New York?
Macy's.
One, Macy's. Two, Madison Square Garden. Three, my apartment.
Wow.
Legendary that's company street. Right there.
Yeah, legendary street.
You're going to get, people waiting outside your apartment now for autographs and yell at you about picking.
Well, that's just like my common Wednesday, Adam. That's nothing different. But, all right. Who's up? Me? I'm up?
Yep, you're up, Patty. Third round pick.
All right. I'm going a little – this might lose me the draft. But, actually, no, I'm going to go with my 1-1 right here. I'm going to stop being cocky. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay. I was waiting. I was going to go.
I think that's hands down. Yeah, I think that's hands down the best Christmas movie. That's not the one that's going to lose me the draft. The next one probably will.
I was targeting that.
It's near and dear to my heart. It's a Wonderful Life. Great movie. Actually, this is kind of a fraudulent pick because I had never seen it until 2 years ago. But, I've watched the last 2 years. I'm going to watch it this year.
It's barely a kid's movie, though. Like, a kid can watch it, but you don't really understand it until, like, late high school, college, I would say. So that's fine that you waited.
Yeah. I love that movie so much. So that's my third round pick. I like my board right now a lot, but Swire, you go ahead.
All right, so you guys might give me a little hate for this one, but it's my theme. I'm just going to stick to the theme of doing what I do. I'm going to go Daddy's Home 2.
Oh my god, with my third round pick.
Wow.
Like that one.
Wow.
That wouldn't have been on my list. Great, you put great me quality. On the computer for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. That would be a great pick if it was the 78th round, I think.
Wow.
Patty, I absolutely agree.
You guys haven't watched it?
What even is Daddy's Home 2? I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
You ever seen it?
Good movie.
No.
Good movie.
Good movie, right, Sheridan? You seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I think it's great quality for the third round. It's a Will Ferrell movie and Mark Wahlberg, which automatically puts it up at the top. And this might lose me the draft right here, but for some reason I like this movie.
I think it's already gone, brother.
No. I have high quality picks.
Daddy's Home 2 brought you back up.
Thank you, Sheridan.
All right, let's hear it.
And with my, you guys are gonna like this pick, but I like this movie, so it's a top Christmas movie for me. With my fourth round pick, I'm with Fred Claus.
Oh, it's a good pick. I don't hate that pick.
It's a good pick. It's better than Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah, it's way better than Daddy's Home 2.
Fred Claus, signed, sealed, delivered. Fourth round pick.
Why are you pissed? Were you gonna take it?
I have a fourth pick now. Oh, I really? Four on my list.
That's hilarious. If only you had Google to look up more.
Fred Claus.
My final pick, closing out. So my four is Grinch, Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life, and...
Is this the one that's going to lose it for you? This is
I think it might. I'm going animated. I'll give it... I'm going to go Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas.
That's a classic.
It's a complete classic. Very nostalgic. Okay. I would be lying to you if I didn't say I'm 24 years old and I'll probably watch that this year. Also, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas is very good. Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas is better. The animation's better. I'm almost positive. In the description, I'm almost positive. That's the one where, like, Donald Duck and his kids go to, like, the workshop. Yep. Yeah, that one's way better.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, that closed out my board. I think I'm pretty pleased with my board here. So, who's up? Sheridan's up, right? Got lost in the snake.
I'm going to round off my four with trying to think of which one. Just three of them. I'm probably going to go with another number two movie of the franchise. I'm going to go with Santa Claus 2 with Tim Allen.
All right.
Okay.
Not a bad pick.
There's a lot of sequels being picked today.
Not a great pick, not a bad pick.
Great pick, no. But not a bad pick. Mediocre.
Fourth round value.
Yeah.
So this is the final pick in the draft. Patty gave me an idea to go animated because I didn't go animated yet. And this is the greatest animated special of all time in my eyes. It's a classic. It started specials if you know what years they were released. This is one of the first ones. I'm going to go with The Grinch, the classic 1966 version.
All right.
I think it's called How the Grinch Stole Christmas, actually.
I like that. I like that pick.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Classic animated. I was trying to think of what the Heat Miser one was called. Couldn't think of it.
It's The Year Without a Santa Claus. But I thought
that pick. That was on my board.
That's a good one.
Adam, that's a solid pick. But, I mean, I already took The Grinch.
Yeah, the 2003 version.
Well, that's the better version.
So I'm building a team, right? And I have.
I thought you were gonna. I was actually nervous. I thought you were gonna snatch the draft out of my hands with taking The Year Without a Santa Claus, and then you went to Grinch. But that's fine.
So you think you won?
I should have fucking.
Oh yeah, I think I definitely did. But I don't know. I mean, The Grinch anime. It's not bad, but
I needed an animated film to add to my lineup four because I can't go with three straight.
I would say like The Grinch that I took. It's like, all right, let's get 88 Jordan or 91 Jordan, and you got like Wizards Jordan, which still a great player. Wizards but, like, Jordan? Not once it what he was. Yeah.
You don't think the Grinch 66 Grinch won a championship? You don't think?
I don't know. This is really getting into like the classic podcasting thing here.
Because there's no competition for it. It's one of a kind.
I'd say right, Swiner's well. Baseball Jordan with his picks. He's the first retirement.
Hey, we'll let the fans decide on that one, but
yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, we'll definitely get a graphic going. But I feel like that went pretty well.
Sheridan, I'm not allowing any transactions. The draft is over.
That was a good segment. I feel like it went well.
But yeah, man. No, I thought it was a great draft. Yeah. I think I have the best picks. We'll see what the fans say and we'll go from there. But this wraps up episode 13 of the Swider Show. Really excited to get back out on the court. Patty, thanks for another great episode. Adam,
of course.
Jake, thanks for doing what you guys do, and obviously decent picks. But this wraps up another episode of the Swider Show, and can't wait to see you guys or have you guys back on Thursday and listen to our next episode.
Hey, real quick, from us to you, Swider. Good luck tomorrow. I might shed a tear seeing you back on the court. So it's been a long road to recovery. We're finally here. Let's go.
It's been a long 2 months, man. It's been a long 2 months. But yeah, man, excited to get back out there. All right, fellas.
Yep, thanks for tuning in.